Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is taken from the 13th chapter of Exodus, verses 21 and 22. And the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, 3 million men, women, and children left Egypt to travel through hostile land to a new place which God would give them, where the promised Messiah would be born. They would not march alone. He would take them under his care and march alongside. He gave them a visible sign of his presence and providential care, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, they may have forsaken him at times, but he never forsook them. He was with them during hunger, thirst, fatigue, battle. He was especially with them as a forgiving God. On one occasion, when they complained against him and Moses, they were punished with a plague of deadly, fiery serpents. A gracious God had them put a serpent on a brass pole, and those who repented of their sins and looked at it were saved. These were God's people whom he loved and wanted to save for eternity. They would be saved by his own son on another pole some 1,500 years later. Well, what does all of this have to do with ministry to the armed forces? 3 million people left Israel. Today there are 5 million service personnel with family members who leave their homes to go where God would lead them. There are another 1.6 million in the reserve components. At one time or another, all of these service people leave their home to train, to serve their nation in demanding ways, even jeopardizing their lives so that we might live in peace and freedom. And like the Israelites of old, they may experience hunger, thirst, fatigue, and fight the battle. They may face overwhelming pressures, physical and mental. But even worse are the minefields of temptations which would blow away their eternal souls. Our church has determined that they shall not march alone. And what has our church, your church, done about it? It all goes back to 1862. When Pastor Friedrich Wilhelm Brickman became chaplain to the 58th Regiment of the Ohio Volunteers in the Civil War, he was endorsed by C.F.W. Walther to exercise the office of the keys in the military. He was our first chaplain to proclaim the saving gospel and to administer the sacraments. Over a period of 128 years, you and members before you have sent almost 1,000 of our best pastors to minister in the military. 14 have died on active duty. Today there are 114 chaplains on active duty, 14 of whom are in the Persian Gulf, and another 190 in the reserve components, some of whom are in our chapel this morning in uniform. I'm required by our church body to visit all of our active duty chaplains once during a duty tour and talk to their supervisory chaplains and commanding officers. And almost without exception, commanders want a chaplain who will be with the troops build relationships with them, earn their respect, and care for them. The cross that a chaplain wears on his helmet or uniform says something. It represents the ultimate caregiver, the one who marched with the Israelites and who gave himself on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine. Our chaplains are with their people where they are. And like Paul, they strive to be all things to all that they might win some. Now, some of our service people tend to blame every other person for their own problems, but the person who really deserves the blame. We might see ourselves here at times. So it's a challenge for chaplains to get these people to shift their perceived problems to the root cause, their own sin and their need for forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And to do a chaplain strive to epitomize the love of Jesus Christ. It may mean carrying another soldier's rucksack, bandaging a sailor's wound, praying with a dying Marine, speaking about sin and grace to an airman. Our chaplains conduct general Protestant worship services, where through God's grace they preach law and gospel through which the Holy Spirit touches the hearts and lives of the hearers. Our ministry to the armed forces is under the board for mission services. Chaplains are missionaries. With joy and courage, they serve as God's instruments in reaching others for Jesus Christ. Now, as the cloud and fire were God's presence, so are bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. And as we know, they are the very body and blood of our Lord, which pastors give to those who come under their pastoral care. Our chaplains are not only missionaries, but they are Lutheran pastors to our Lutherans, conducting Lutheran services, confirming youths and adults. Thousands have been baptized and confirmed by our chaplains. Many are even pastors today because of the chaplains who marched side by side with them while they were in the armed forces. Oh, I wish you could read our chaplain's reports or hear what our commanding officers are saying about our chaplains on active duty and in the reserve components. I think of the young Army chaplain who accompanied his battalion in the attack on Noriega's headquarters in Operation Just Cause in Panama, and how he ministered to the wounded and conducted memorial services for the dead. I think of a young chaplain in Honduras who took out a group of armed forces people on a spiritual retreat by bus. There was another bus out that day on a recreation services tour, which was hit by insurgents with small arms fire. 8 were wounded. And that chaplain ministered to those wounded, experiencing the trauma of war, in a country where we are building roads and clinics and hospitals and schools for the people so that they might help themselves. I think of the letter I recently got from a Navy chaplain serving the Marines in Saudi Arabia. He mentioned how difficult the transition was to the intense heat and high humidity. But then he thanked God for the marvelous opportunity which he had to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people. And he was thrilled with the number of Marines who were coming out to services. He sees 40 to 50 people a week constantly. He's in the process of confirming a young Marine officer. Oh, let us thank God for these chaplains who are ministering in such difficult situations. Well, how else has our church supported ministry to the armed forces? By a ministry by mail, which goes back to World War II when we had 115,000 members in the armed forces and sent them over 1 million pieces of correspondence each month. Today, this ministry is carried out from our St. Louis office under the supervision of Chaplain Ernest Wenzel. And a week doesn't go by but that pastors, mothers, and fathers ask that their parishioners, sons and daughters, be placed on our ministry by mail list. And then once on that list, they receive our military edition of the Lutheran Witness and other Christian literature. And often we receive profound thank yous from these people on this list. And this says they deeply appreciate this program, your program, which shows that they shall not march alone. The writer to the Hebrews, probably the Apostle Paul, mentions the heroes of faith who looked forward to the coming Messiah, one of whom was Moses, who had his people follow the cloud by day and the fire by night. God's spokesman in Hebrews mentions another cloud, a cloud of witnesses which encompasses all the faithful of all times. This is the priesthood of believers, all Christians. You are in this cloud. And in a way, through it, you are supporting our ministry to the armed forces. You do it through the chaplains that you send. You do it with your prayers. And when you students become pastors, remember to make certain that the names of your service members are on our ministry by mail list. Support our annual Armed Forces Day Sunday with your contributions. Pray for peace and justice in this world. Then are you doing your part to ensure that they shall not march alone? For 31 years, I have been involved in chaplain ministry. And for all of these years, I have prayed for peace, justice, and that Christians everywhere may have an opportunity to worship corporately without discrimination or persecution. This spring, it seemed as if the first part of this prayer were being answered in Europe. The Cold War appears to be over, and we thank God for it. Now a madman in Iraq threatens to launch another war, taking aggressive action which has been condemned by the majority of the world. We Christians aren't surprised about this. This is a sinful world, and we know it. Scripture tells us there will be wars and rumors of wars until the end. I am convinced that Missouri Synod will have sons and daughters serving our nation in uniform for many years to come. But how comforting it is to know that they shall not march alone. Our great God and a supportive church marches with them. God grant that we might always do our part to ensure that they shall not march alone. Now may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.